On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson drops by to catch us up on the Tin Caps, discuss Women's City Golf Tournament and other July events, and we'll talk about our favorite sports to enjoy on Independence Day. I'll close with notes on Fort Wayne FC, the Commissioner's Cup winning Indiana Fever, and the Pacers. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette is here to help us get started as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The second half of the minor league baseball season continues. The Tin Caps just wrapped up a long set against the Great Lakes Loons. How'd they end up doing?
So the Tin Caps got a series victory. They won four of those six games against the Great Lake Loons in their first full series of the second half. So a good way to kick off the second half of the season. The clinching game on Sunday was a little bit of a topsy-turvy affair. It turned out to be a little bit more complicated than I think a lot of people were hoping. The Tin Caps scored five runs in the bottom of the fifth inning. You'd think that that would be enough to keep you comfortably ahead. Tacked on another run in the next inning, led 7-1. And then they gave up a grand slam in the top of the eighth. And then after that, immediately reloaded the bases. So at that point, the advantage seemed doomed. But they got out of the jam in the top of the eighth, got a force out at home, followed by two strikeouts, got a run back in the bottom of the eighth, gave up another run in the top of the ninth, but managed to close it out and prevailed 8-7 in a roller coaster of a game. There were a combined 21 walks in that game, 11 issued by the Tin Caps. They survive, score eight runs on three hits, and come away with the series victory.
So what does the road ahead look like for the Tin Caps over the next week?
So this week, the Tin Caps are playing a series against the Lansing Lugnuts. On a Tuesday, the Tin Caps got a 7-2 victory after Tin Caps right-hander Ian Koenig sat down 11 straight batters. He did that after giving up a solo home run in the third and then just kind of rolled from there. So what is interesting about this series, instead of doing what we've typically been doing in the Tin Caps schedule for the past couple seasons where you have a six-game homestand or a six-game, you know, away series and it's six games, six games, six games, six games all in the same place to kind of massage the 4th of July schedule. The first three games of this series are being played at home at Parkview Field, including sort of a big 4th of July style extravaganza on July 3rd. And then the Tin Caps are going to go to Lansing for the final three games of the series. And this will allow Lansing to get a home game on the 4th of July, like the Tin Caps have been blessed with for the vast majority of their time at Parkview Field.
The Tin Caps 7-3 so far in the second half of the season. Spring high school sports have wrapped up, so we're in a bit of a weird offseason locally outside of the Tin Caps and Fort Wayne FC. What are you keeping an eye on in July?
Yes, so the Women's City Golf Tournament is coming up on us. Just last night, I was kind of trolling around and looking at the entry list, the names that we recognize from past tournaments, from high school, from, you know, players who I know have gone on to play collegiately. And then there's other things like the Fort Wayne City Dive Meet, the City Swim Meet. So those are things that will be on my schedule coming up. There's also a little bit of high school stuff, mostly football, kind of picking up again. So we have the North-South All-Star Game. That'll be not this week, but this coming week. That involves a lot of our area seniors, maybe not the guys who are going to, you know, D1 programs, because some of them have been with their Division I programs since Christmas break, basically. But for a lot of the guys who are going to be seeing, you know, in D3 or NAIA, the sort of guys who are going to play at St. Francis, at Marion, Trine, those kind of guys, a lot of them will be playing at the North-South All-Star Game at Decatur Central. And this is kind of a way to get them maybe a little bit back in football shape, maybe meet some guys who are going to be your future teammates and kind of get ready for your first fall camp, kind of get you kind of on the glide path to collegiate football. So that's always really fun. And yeah, High School Football Media Day. It's coming up in the middle of this month, and that is going to be the same day as the Indiana High School Football Hall of Fame induction. So we have a couple Fort Wayne and surrounding area guys who are being inducted, and they're going to be combining those two events into one day.
Friday is Independence Day. Like everybody else, I associate it with grilling and fireworks, but I also love having the opportunity to watch baseball all day long, especially if it's on a weekday. What's your favorite sports adjacent thing on the 4th of July?
Okay, so I know we had this conversation before we got on the air, and we were talking a little bit about the hot dog eating contest.
Yep.
And all of that. I am with you on this. Absolutely not. I don't want to see that. It does nothing for me.
It's not great.
And it's not. Apologies to all the people who love it out there, but that's not me. I'm a baseball girl. I will happily watch baseball. I like daytime baseball. I like nighttime baseball. And I will say, maybe this is homerism, and as I've already talked about, we don't actually have a Tin Caps game at home on the 4th of July this year, but in the past we have. And I will say that is one of my absolute favorite things. It is so much fun to go to an absolutely packed, you know, minor league baseball game. Everybody's in a good mood. There are fireworks. Everybody's there. I really enjoy that. Send me out to the ballpark while it is hot and sunny outside and there's a lot of ice cream.
There's something that's always going to feel special too about daytime baseball on a summer weekday afternoon when you have no other commitments. There's really nothing quite like that.
I will say there is a very similar one and there's much less opportunity for it. But if you get a chance to just go to the slack rounds of a rodeo on like late Thursday morning and you have no place better to be, that is very similar. It makes you feel like you're playing hooky and I love it.
Genuinely sounds like a great time. Victoria Jacobson, covering the whole spectrum of sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Fort Wayne FC hosted a very exciting international friendly against Atlas Football Club Sub 23 at Bishop Darcy Stadium Saturday, and they picked up the win. Hopefully that victory ignites a late season turnaround. After going undefeated in the first month plus of play, Fort Wayne FC has dropped its last two matches against Kingshammer Columbus and WV Chaos. Three games remain on their schedule. They'll host Lansing City Football Saturday at 6 for Military Appreciation Night. Then they're on the road to face the Dutch Lions in Dayton next Wednesday at 7. The regular season will come to an end with a home game against Kingshammer Columbus FC on Saturday, July 12th at 7. If they don't make it to the playoffs, that could be their final game calling Bishop Darcy Stadium home, and their last as a member of USL League 2 before next year's promotion. The Indiana Fever are the WNBA Commissioner's Cup champions, and they did it without Caitlin Clark. Listen, I love 22 just as much as everyone else, but that groin injury has been a problem, either keeping her out or leaving her ineffective when she plays. Remember, she was a minus 24 in her last two games. Even though they've been so record-wise, other Fever players like Kelsey Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston, and Natasha Howard have been great. The Fever are more than Caitlin Clark, and I loved seeing them step up big in their win against the Lynx on Tuesday night. They will play their next five games at home until July 15th. In the next week, that includes 7 o'clock tip-offs against the Vegas Aces tonight and the Los Angeles Sparks on Saturday, then a matinee next Wednesday against the Golden State Valkyries. And you know what? Caitlin Clark? She's doing just fine. She was just named a captain for the All-Star game because she won the fan vote and did well in the media vote. Hopefully that injury sorts itself out soon, and she can shine in the big game on her home court July 19th. The resetting of the NBA clock weeks after the Pacers' NBA Finals loss has not been kind to our team. Last week, I talked about what life without Tyrese Halliburton could look like next season, and now we just lost Miles Turner. The longest tenured Pacer and highly sought after stretch five is taking his talents to Milwaukee to play for the Bucks. Hey, it's a business, and the potential to play with Giannis is tough to pass up. He followed the money, and whom among us would not? I don't believe you if you say you wouldn't. So the team heads into the new campaign with a little more uncertainty than before, and it's not where you want to be, especially as the Knicks find their new coach in Mike Brown and the Cavs acquire Lonzo Ball. But Rick Carlisle and the Pacers have a way of making a lot work with very little, so we'll see where this goes. Otherwise, the offseason so far has been kind of whatever. I'm sure big-time hoops heads are excited about what the Denver Nuggets have been up to, but the fact that the big Kevin Durant trade happened before Game 7 of the Finals opened up the transaction window a bit sooner, so to me, free agency hasn't been as explosive. Maybe it's just me. We'll see if anything major happens in the coming weeks. Earlier, you heard us talk about our 4th of July sports plans. Baseball is the flavor of the day, starting bright and early with the Red Sox and Nationals at 11:05 in the morning from DC. Games will gradually start throughout the day. Cubs and Cardinals' first pitch is set for 2:20. Tigers and Guardians have a big Midwest battle set for 7. And there's an always fun Dodgers-Astros game at Dodger Stadium later in the night. If you really feel dead inside, you can set time aside for the White Sox and Rockies, as the Rockies continue their path to breaking the all-time losses record for a season, the same record that the White Sox set last year. Someone on 670 The Score in Chicago called it the chase for disgrace. I'm a big fan of that one. That's all for Field Notes this week. Thank you for spending the last year with us. 1 year! From Yu Darvish pitching for the Tin Caps to last year's swimming trials to dragon boats to curling to Caitlin Clark to the Notre Dame and IU football seasons to the Comets playoff run, all the way up to the Pacers finals run, what a year for Hoosier sports. It's been so fun getting to spend time with you in this capacity every week. Let's run it back and do it again next year. We'll see you all next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.